More is you and Magic's Indulgence podcast. A little indulgence wherever you are. With More Than, the insurer that does more.
It's Magic 105.4. I'm Paul Fear, and we've got one of our most played bands with us tonight on the radio station's programme called Indulgence. Good to welcome Morten and Mags from AHA. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank
Good
you.
To have you in England. And in fact, London is the place where it all started for you guys, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, and it was home for 12 years. And it is where the band's kind of initial sound was shaped, very much so. We left Norway in 83,
and 2nd of January.
Came from a country that played lots of music from the 70s and 60s. One radio channel only, not a lot of current pop music on the radio, and was just kind of blown away by the soundscape of London in 1983. Mm. And that was a huge influence on the coloration of our sound.
So do you remember where you were living at that time? It's
where?
About 27 years ago, isn't it now?
In London.
In London, yeah.
Oh, everywhere. Yeah. Bed sits, little apartments.
We didn't exactly have money.
So, the good old days. Yeah. Look, you're here to pick out some music. We're going to hear your new song as well, which is fantastic too. But start with a band who are maybe contemporaries of yours back in the 80s. This is Tears for Fears. Tell me about Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Great song. And I guess everybody does want to rule the world. I mean, I remember hearing that. That came out a little bit before our...
They were kind of just ahead of us.
Yeah. And I just, it was, you know, just blown away by it. Thought it was fantastic. And subsequently, we worked with one of the members from Tears for Fears for our fourth album. I think it was our fourth album. Mm. So, yeah, they've always been, you know, a band that was among the ones that, you know, you kind of always was checking out what they're doing. When their new single's coming out, it's all very exciting. So, yeah.
Picking the music for us on Indulgence tonight, we've got Morten and Mags from AHA. There's their first song choice, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, by Tears for Fears. We're going to play your new song, Foot of the Mountain, coming up, and a new album. It's unusual. I was thinking so many bands from the era of the 80s have kind of got back together again recently, but you guys, although you had a little bit of a break, you never really split up, did you?
We had a seven-year...
Small break of seven years apart.
Yeah. But we have been, you know, touring and working and making albums together since year 2000. So we've had a good second run together. Yeah.
So, but was there ever a time when you said, right, that's it? You know, AHA does not exist. Did you ever kind of wind things up?
No, that's ahead. That's to come.
Or further back, we got together and said, guys, AHA does not exist. Let's make it happen.
Right.
But that was in 81.
Oh, okay. So that's when you first met. So you've known each other for such a long time, haven't you?
A long time.
Yeah, and there's also Paul in the band as well, who's not with us here. So what does it feel like? I mean, it's more than many, many marriages, isn't it? You guys must know each other incredibly well.
Feels like more than many, many marriages.
Yeah, and divorces. Yeah, on top of each other.
It is. I mean, it's you are constantly forcing yourself back into feeling like you did when you were 14, when you have a kind of a... sitting opposite a guy who knew you when you were 14, you kind of revisit old versions of yourself.
Yeah.
And it's you know, it can be quite challenging, but also I think it's a kind of, it's not that many fields where people work together for such long periods of time.
Yeah.
So it is a kind of, I try to look at it as a learning experience. I think we all do.
Okay, well, let's play one of your songs now. So many we could choose from. The Sun Always Shines on TV. What are your memories of this track?
It was recorded at the very end of recording the first album, Hunting High and Low, and was initially not part of the album. It was written towards the end, and it was sort of... as we were delivering the album, it came in and barely made it, basically. But we knew it was a strong number. We were on a high. We're really charged.
Everybody remembers that line in it. Touch me.
Yeah. Touch me.
There you go.
Well, it's a hot, good number. It was number one. So I guess it's good enough.
Yeah. It was.
It's our first UK, only UK number one, I think.
Probably. But it was. with Take On Me, I mean, we were based here, but we were signed to an American company. So the first part of our, you know, the first release period was not really working very well. And then the American part kind of took over for real, and Take On Me was launched the way it eventually was. And that made number two in the charts. And at that point, it was all over the place. And then Sun and Wind Shines. So UK was kind of the last country to kind of come in. But the first one to respond to the next single, which was Sun and Wind Shines. And kind of took the lead in that sense.
Good old Britain.
Good old Britain.
Yeah. Here it is. Talking to Morton and Mags from AHA on Indulgence tonight. And Mags, you mentioned this briefly, that there wasn't a great deal of music around in Norway when you were growing up. Where did you access music? Was it, I mean, it was pre-internet, obviously. You couldn't just open up your laptop.
Radio Luxembourg.
Oh, yeah.
That was important.
It's not going anymore either, is it? Which is...
No, I guess not. But we also used to go to record stores after school and listen for free on headphones to records. Buying records was the big thing.
Yeah, I guess that took a lot of your income out, away.
Took all of the income.
But you got it back eventually. Let's play another song chosen by the guys, and we're going to the Carpenters with a massive back catalogue of tunes. Which one are you going to pick out of their catalogue?
The very lovely We've Only Just Begun.
Any reason?
Just a great song.
They are back with a new album and a single called Foot of the Mountain, which we're going to play later on in the programme. But it's Morton and Mags from AHA who are with us tonight on our Indulgence programme. We mentioned earlier some of the worldwide success you guys have had, but I've heard that Brazil and South America has really, really has taken to you and still love you. You played one of the biggest concerts in the world in Brazil, I think.
That's a few years ago. That was like, it happened quite late in our career, in the early 90s. Yeah. We had a massive run in South America. I think we played to something like 600,000 people in five or six shows. It was quite astounding. I mean, one of them was almost 200,000, so they kind of took a huge chunk out of
that. That's this legendary Rock in Rio event.
Yeah. Maracanã. Yeah.
It was sort of as close to an out of body experience as I think you're going to get.
Yeah. Can you see anything but people? I mean, you must, when you look at the back of a crowd that big, surely
you don't. It's more like I think for me the most striking thing was the sound that came off the audience had a kind of a physical aspect to it. It pushed you physically. And made you kind of swagger, and not in a cool way, and just kind of like stagger more than swagger. And that was kind of a shock walking out there and realizing, because we'd just the year before done a concert in Rio for 120,000 people.
Which was still quite good.
Which is still pretty big. And then we think, okay, it's the same, just bigger, but it was a whole different
It was a different animal in one sense. But at the same time, it's impressive to see how they handle themselves in such big crowds. Yeah. That is almost weird. We've had, you know, the organizers telling them that you have to move back. Can you please move back 6 feet or something? Mm. And they do. And to watch that many people, I'm not 200,000, but I don't know how many thousand. To actually do that and make it work is...
Yeah, what a feeling of power, eh? Yeah, now put your left hand in the air.
but that's the thing, because they're kind of wild people at the same time, very responsive and certainly hot blooded. Mm. But at the same time, they are so used to it, must be that being together like that in big football matches or whatever, and they just the way they behave is impressive,
extraordinary. Well, let's have another song, a Simon and Garfunkel track, mainly because of a lady called Anne Bancroft, I think,
from the film The Graduate. Yeah, which was we were just discussing it, looking over all these songs on the way here, and realizing, without having I think discussed it before, that we both had a serious crush on Anne Bancroft.
I don't think I know any guy who hasn't at some point in life had a crush on Anne Bancroft.
Our Indulgence tonight is songs chosen by Morton and Mags from the band AHA, who've joined us. And we have to say that the name is fantastic. It's catchy, but it's got a dash in it. I mean, people always write AHA, but it's actually A-HA. Any particular reason why you've got a dash in there? Or is that the silliest question you've
made
ever been
made it more
heard?
Dashing? I don't know.
Could be the silliest question I've ever asked.
Well, you look it up in the dictionary.
But
it's
a question we haven't been asked, which is interesting.
Well, you might make a change.
You know, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we have to write this one down. What's the question you've never been asked? Now we've been asked this one as well.
Yeah.
You blew it.
Thank you. Yeah. Let's have a song from Blondie. You played with her recently. Maybe I should rephrase that. You appeared on stage with her recently.
Not with her, but after her. We headlined a festival in Chile, Santiago, Chile, just this spring. Mm. March. Mm. There, summer, I guess.
Spring here.
Yeah. So, it was funny to see her and to see Blondie perform as kind of...
It's quite a few members of the original band are still there, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, they're not getting any younger either. And it's kind of interesting to see punk take on a whole different kind of generational... Well, they were never really punk, but you know what I mean.
Definitely new wave.
Yeah, and it was sweet. It was nice.
And this is when new wave met disco, and it sounded fantastic on Heart of Glass. Back on Indulgence with Aha, Morten and Mags are with us. I'm wondering, guys, Morten, perhaps I can ask you, who are you listening to today? You're still interested in modern music?
When you say modern music... Well,
music that's
pop.
Being recorded, yeah, absolutely.
I am, but I'm not. I'm the one in the band that doesn't really hunt for new music. But I often hear things because Mags does, or Paul, for that sake. But I live in Norway, like Magnus does. Paul lives in New York, so I see Morten Mags.
Yeah.
So I'm not really. I mean, you ask me that. You should ask Magnum what he listens to, because I.
You should ask me what Morten listens to.
Actually, yeah. Yeah.
All right. What does he listen to?
Whatever I play.
yeah. Thank you.
Because I think you're working with producers who've worked with bands like Elbow and Coldplay on your new album.
We did have a quick session with Danton, if that's Danton Supple. We ended up working with Steve Osborne on this album, who. Produced the wonderful Get Ready album for New Order, and I mean his career is multifaceted, but it was a real pleasure. We've never worked with him before, and he came in quite late in the game after we'd already successfully demolished three or four other producers on our wily way towards an album. One of whom was Mark Saunders, who produced a lot of the early Cure stuff, and we've kind of gone through a few people, but Steve came in and kind of pulled it all together. So what was the question again?
I can't remember, but it was a good answer. And Bob Marley is next on the list. And you might not really associate you guys with your kind of synthesizer sound with Bob Marley. How did you
It's interesting with the synthesizer sound of Aha, because that was more of a fluke on our part. It's just that we didn't have band members like a sax player or a drummer, and we never really wanted it either. We had a very kind of modular way of working. We would just program everything ourselves, drums, bass, parts, you name it. So our sound really grew out of the necessity of just making everything ourselves.
We had no work permits either, so we couldn't appear anywhere. We couldn't really do anything. At all. Right. So we had to just hide away and make sounds of whatever we...
Sitting in that bedsit for
and we had no
the
money.
Keyboard.
Yeah. So, I mean, we made sounds from cake tin boxes and, in the early days.
Wow.
And it worked.
Well, Bob Marley next and No Woman, No Cry.
Yeah. Took me a little while to pick up on reggae as such. It became big in Norway during a time when I was listening to a lot of British and American music from the 60s, and I was kind of immersed in this late hippie music at the time, and so I couldn't kind of get my head around reggae, so I resisted it for the longest time, but you know, in the end you have to just realize it's just great.
Aha are our guests on Indulgence tonight, and tell me about the origins of your synthesizer sound, Mags.
Yeah, what I was going to say earlier about the synth thing is that, you know, that became the synth sound of Aha became such a huge part of but it was really it happened, as I said, partly because of the necessity of making all the sounds ourselves, generating all the sounds ourselves. But it was also a kind of an opening up from coming from Norway, from this kind of closed musical surrounding, and immersing ourselves in the kind of the technical and synthesizer aspects of the 80s. And it really kind of just came together as a, it wasn't ever intended to be like that. It just came together like that. And for many years, we kind of ended up experimenting away from our formula a lot, and quite proudly so. I mean, we sort of always looked for new ways of doing things. But at this point in our career, I think with the new album, we've taken a sort of a step back towards our British roots and the roots of kind of British pop music as opposed to American rock. And I think it, there's something in the blend of it all that works really well with Morten's voice, particularly because when you put his voice in a rock setting, I just sort of feel there's a kind of an aesthetic clash there somewhere. Not that he can't sing rock, and if you know, I'm not trying to insult him as he's sitting next to me. I would if he wasn't.
He's walking out. But, oh no, he's back.
Well, I can arrange that.
But I guess my point is that there is something in that landscape of synthetic sound that really just clicks for me.
And well, it's like you wouldn't expect to hear Bob Marley singing to a rock track, would you? Maybe it's
I mean, you
certain people
you
for know, certain styles.
You exactly. have to also choose what to cultivate to an extent. That's always the problem with art as well. Artists, painters, for that sake, and they if you're going to communicate to the public, to any crowd, there has to be a kind of a line through what you're doing. At the same time, as an artist, you want to have nothing holding you back. So that's always going to be, pulling in opposite directions.
Well, let's hear it. It's very melodious. It's the new song. It's Foot of the Mountain, and it's A-Ha. It's so good to have them back and sounding fresh and new with that new song called Foot of a Mountain, A-Ha. And you heard it here on Magic 105.4. Running out of time, afraid, as always we do on our intelligence programme. But you are going to be back in November for some live concerts.
Yeah, we're doing the O2 Arena, which will be the first time we do. I mean, we used to play the old arena, and now we get a chance to play the new one, which is fantastic. Looking forward to that. And a few other places around Britain as well.
It's a fantastic venue, you know. You're going to love the O2.
It depends on the people who come there, obviously, and we only have great people coming, so we're going to enjoy.
And I mean, it's been over 25 years, and yet the crowds are still coming to see you. You can still sell out 18,000-seater stadiums. That must make you feel pretty good about yourselves.
Well, if you think about it like that, I guess you should feel good about yourself. But, I mean, the way we look at it is that we play, whether the venue is big, small, we have played all sizes and all sorts. And our job is to keep doing something we believe in and do it to the best of our abilities. And when it all clicks and you get lucky and you get a break and people like what you're doing and you hit a high, of course it's a big rush. More so now than in the early days. I think the initial success was so kind of overwhelming. I almost said devastating. I meant overwhelming. That there was just no time to react to it. Now, when good things happen, you tend to kind of realise what they mean to a greater degree.
Well, enjoy it. The gig is on the O2 Arena on the 4th of November. Morten, Mags, thank you so much for spending time with us on Indulgence tonight.
Certainly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Indulgence on Magic 105.4 with More Than. Doing more by carrying colour doodles on board our breakdown trucks to help keep your children smiling. You can download this interview in full at magic.co.uk/podcasts.